78. And this week's parsha starts Vayera Elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to him Beloya Mamre in the plains of Mamre, which to him is Abraham. Voyoshev Pesach Oel, and he's sitting, while Abraham was sitting in the door of the tent, Kechoy Mayom, because the day was hot. So Rashi right away says, Vayera Elav, Levakre Sachoyle. Rashi writes down that the reason that he stood there is to be Mevakre Choyle. So Rashi brings down the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Bomar Abchoma Bar Chanina Yom Shlishi Lamilasa Hayu. Rashi brings down that Abchoma Bar Chanina says it was the third day of the Brit Milah. Yivo HaKodesh Baruch Hu V'shol B'shloimah. Hashem came and asked for Abraham to see how Abraham is doing. He came to be Mevakre Choyle. They bring down from the Tamam and Hagim that a person, when he goes to Mevakre Choyle, he should not call the other person by his name. And he brings down the reason is because if it was a decree, something bad, to come by to the person, then he shouldn't remind Hashem about the name, should not say the name in front for a person, so they somehow won't remember his name. And it comes out very good, because there it says, Vayera Elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to him. Doesn't say Vayera Lavram, Belenemoimre. Doesn't say that he appeared to Abraham. And by that time, it's already Abraham. The next Rashi is on Boile Mamre, the plains of Mamre. And Rashi writes down something very interesting, which Rashi brings down from the Medrash Tanchuma in Bereshit Rabbah. Hu shenosan loy eitz al hamila. He is the one who gave, normally you translate the word eitz al hamila, advice on the Bismillah. Lefikach, therefore, Nigro Elav Bechalko, therefore, he appeared to him in his portion. So here is the famous question, wait a minute. Avraham Avinu is asking all of a sudden advice for Mamre. Mamre was one of his friends, he had three friends, Onar Eshkol Mamre, and he's the one who gave him advice. So there are a couple different answers, what kind of advice Avraham Avinu needed to ask. One, it says that Avraham Avinu didn't know how to do it in a way that people should know that he did a Brit Milah. Brit Milah is something usually that you don't show off to anybody, you keep it under your pants, and therefore nobody will know that he did a Brit Milah. How do people find out that you are going to eventually do a Brit Milah, that Hashem told you to do a Brit Milah, and to publicize what Hashem told you? The only way to do it is to going to every person, ask, you know, should I do this, shouldn't I do this? And automatically people will know that you're contemplating doing it. And then if you do it, then people will know that you did it. But otherwise, people don't know what actually was done. Another interpretation they give is that Mamre, Avraham Avinu, didn't know for sure if he should make the mitzvah the opposite. He should make the mitzvah betina, hiddenly, or befrasi, openly. And Mamre said that since God told you to do it, and it's a mitzvah from God, you should do it openly, no problem. And therefore, as a reward, because he told him to do it openly, therefore, God appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. Now, third interpretation went down, is that the word Eitzah is actually not really advice. The word Eitzah means a wood. Like, the Gemara writes down that Eitzah, Kamala Pigamal, that somebody carries out wood. How much wood is he liable for carrying? The Gemara writes down there, he's carrying like as much as a camel eats it. So do you see the word Eitzah not necessarily means advice. Eitzah could also mean wood, which means a medicine, a kind of wood that had antibiotics or medicine in it. So he's the one who gave him the Eitzah alamila, gave him the wood to help heal his Brit Milah. So as a reward, Hashem showed up in his portion. Another interpretation they give down is that Avraham Avinu didn't know what kind of bracha to make on the Bris Milah. If he should make the bracha lamo, like we have Ladik Nesh Shabbos, we don't say La Allah Hadvakas Nesh Shabbos, or he should make Alamila. And he decided that Mamre told him to do it, the bracha Al Hamila. on the Mila. The truth is that I saw a nice word from my Rosh Hashiva, the Vinerov, and the Vinerov actually, he brings down this question. He says, wait a minute, what's going on? How is it possible that he should ask him advice for the Birit Milah? He didn't ask, he had 10 tests, never asked anybody for any advice, and all of a sudden he should fail on that. And he also tries to know how come Mamre got this reward, specific this reward. So he brings a Medrash Rabbah, which is a Parshan, Medrash Rabbah is Parshan, which brings a Pasuk on this Vayere El of Hashem, he brings a Pasuk, Vayitele Magi Shecha, you give me my shield of hope, of help, Minichot Tzadeni, your right hand will help, will support me, Ven Vascho, and your humility, Tarbeni, will give me, will multiply me. So it brings down that the Invasko Tarbeni, that Ma Anova Harba Irakosh Baruch Avram, what kind of humility or kind of extra reward or extra humility showed Avram? It brings down that he was sitting, that then the Pasha says that the Yoishev Pesach Oil, that Shechina was standing and he was sitting. So there you see that Avram Avinu got extra humility. So the question is, what's got to do with humility? Why is the humility the reward specifically for that what Avraham Avinu did now? So to answer this, we have to ask another question, which actually, this question, there's a bunch of answers, but one answer we'll try to give from the Yismach Moshe. The question is, why didn't Avraham Avinu do the Brit Milah before he was given? Before he was commanded, Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah before he was commanded. The Gemara Yumadaf Chofches Omed Beis brings down that Kim Avraham Avinu's Kara Torah. Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah, and why Mitzvah Mila he didn't do it until Hashem commanded to him. So the simple answer they give is because it's written, God Alam Metzuvah Voisa Yoisher Meishena Metzuvah Voisa, that somebody who does a mitzvah when he's commanded, its reward is greater, and it's not only its reward is greater, it's greater, it's considered a greater deed than somebody who doesn't do and commanded. Basically, in other words, if somebody tells you to do something and you do it, Hashem tells you to do something, you do it, you get a greater reward if you just volunteer for it. And the logic they explain, because if you do not command it, then the Yetzirah Hara doesn't find, your evil inclination doesn't try to attack you so badly, but once you command it to do it, then all of a sudden the Yetzirah Hara attacks you. I compare it to teenage children, that if you tell your teenager, you know, a lot of times your teenager will do something by itself, but all of a sudden if you told them, then all of a sudden he doesn't want to do it anymore. So that's basically the Yetzirah Hara going in there. In other words, he'll do it. If you don't tell him, he'll do it anyways. But once you told him, now he can't do it. So why? What's the logic behind it? Because once you tell him, the Yetzirah Hara is there. The Yetzirah Hara says, no, I'm not going to do it. Since you told me, I'm not going to do it. If you want volunteer, okay, but to do it specifically, I'm not going to do it. So therefore, from a view knowing that eventually he'll get the mitzvah of Brit Milah, he was waiting for the chance to be mitzvah voice. That's the one answer. The other answer is that Brit Milah is a sign of Brit Milah by its very word covenant. Covenant, you make a covenant. Two equal people usually make covenants. When Hashem tells us to Brit Milah, Hashem is elevating us to an equal level, that we are making a covenant, we are making a pact with Hashem. But by himself, Avraham Avinu would not have the chutzpah to make the covenant with Hashem, to make himself saying, I'm equal to you. So therefore, he didn't want to do the Brit Milah. That's brought down by Pardes Yosef. Last week's parsha, it's brought down that that's the reason Avraham Avinu didn't do a Brit Milah. But my Rosh Hashiva brings down that Tzitni Medesh Tanchuma, Parsha Sazria, it's talking about there, in Pasuk Vayom Hashmini Imoil, in Parsha Sazria, that says the eighth day you should make a Brit Milah. So there it brings down the story, Transrapo Zarasho, asked Rabbi Akiva. Transrapo was a general at the time of Rabbi Akiva, and he asked Rabbi Akiva, the Roman general, I'm sorry, and he asked Rabbi Akiva, Eiza Masim Noim, which actions are more beautiful? Actions of man or actions of God? So he was trying to allude that how can we do a Brit Milah if God gave you something perfect? How can you go and do something to it? How can man's action be greater than the action of Hashem? Hashem created the heaven and earth, created everything. So if you wanted a person to do a Brit Milah, why wouldn't he create a person complete? So Rabbi Akiva took away baked goods, and he asks, and grains, he says, what's better, the grains or these baked goods? So he was trying to show in his face that a lot of times we have to complete certain things to be able to finish eating it. So since you have to complete certain things to finish eating it, so he wanted to show that the same thing, that even though Hashem created us, Hashem wanted us to complete ourselves through the Brit Milah, through the move, the Arla, to do an action, to become partners with Hashem. Or so he explained that the Vishnosa Kodesh Baruch Hu, as a mitzvah to Israel, God Hashem only gave the mitzvah to Israel, El Tzare for Yisrael Bohem, either to clean them with them, or to become partners with them. That's the reason Hashem does a Brit Milah. Comes out that by the fact that we do Brit Milah, we show that our actions are actually greater than the actions of Hashem. And the Gemara brings down in Ksubas Daf Hey Omed Aleph, the Gemara brings down that God Gedoyli Masa Dorash Bar Kapora learned Gedoyli Masa Tzadikim, it's greater what the Tzadikim do. Yoisei Masa Shemayim Vores. The Gemara brings a pasuk that what Tzadikim do is greater than what Hashem did creation of heaven and earth. So it comes out like this. That by us doing a Brit Milah, that shows that we are doing an action that's greater than creation, because we are trying to complete. We're saying to Hashem, you didn't finish it right, or you didn't finish it completely, and we are now coming and making it in a better stage. But that would be only, that's good for a father to tell a son to do that. That's okay. But a son to go himself saying, I'm better than my father, that's kind of chutzpah. So therefore, according to this, Avraham didn't want to do it. And because he was afraid, I mean, it's quite simple, he was afraid to show that he is haughty in front of Hashem. The Gemara brings down that the Talmud Chacham, the Gemara inserted Dafhei also, Dafhei Medalev, it's coincidence, as Talmud Chacham, Muter Lizgar B'Shmone Shmeshvinis. The Talmud Chacham, normally we're not allowed to be haughty in anything, but Talmud Chacham is allowed to become haughty on the 8th of an 8th. So normally we translate the 64th, but Chassam Sofer gives a little different interpretation. He brings down, let's talk about Brit Milah, which is the 8th mitzvah, after 7 mitzvahs by Noach, is the 8th mitzvah that was given to Avraham Avinu himself. And he was commanded to do it in the 8 days. So that he calls that the 8 days are the 8th of the 8th. And he brings down that also a famous Gemara Menachas brings down, Menachas Daf Mem Gimel Amad Beis, that B'Shoah Shenechlas David Beis HaMelechetz, the time the David HaMelech went into the bathhouse, V'Ra'a Tzmoy Oymed Arum, he saw himself naked, Oyman, he said, how can I be naked without mitzvah? He went in, he didn't have a talus, didn't have tefillin, and he's completely naked. And he's saying, wait, how can I be naked without tefillin? So I always remembered the Brit Milah, he became quiet, he became careful, he became settled. And all of a sudden he says, in chapter Hillel, chapter 12, number 1, he says, David. That they sang a song to the Eternal, to Hashemis, on the Brit Milah, a song to the Brit Milah. So he explains, Chassam Sofer explains, that David HaMelech, when he's talking going to Beis HaMelechetz, the bathhouse, he's not talking about the old bathhouse, he's talking about, metaphorically, he was making a cheshbon nefesh, he was saying that, trying to look at everything he did himself, every mitzvah he did, he saw that every mitzvah he does, he has a kind of, does it for a reason, it's kind of, bias for doing the mitzvah is not doing total Shem Shemayim. The only mitzvah is done Shem Shemayim is the mitzvah of Brit Milah, which is actually done for him when he's a young kid. And on that is on he's saying in that he could become haughty because that's the only mitzvah that he did by himself, and therefore he became quiet and he said Lanatzeich Hashminis, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that a person could become haughty on the one eighth of an eight, which normally Bishminis Bishminis, which means the eighth of the eight, which normally returns 64, but he translates it as the Brit Milah. So it comes out according to this that in order to do a Brit Milah, you have to be a little haughty. And true, and only, but the Gemara writes down that only a Talmid Chacham is allowed to be haughty. The Talmid Chacham mutal is God, b'shminis shebishminis. Only Talmid Chacham, a righteous, a learned person, a person that's righteous. So, the question that Avraham Avinu had is that even though Hashem Yisborach had told them that he is going to be, he should make a bit milah, so Hashem Yisborach actually elevated him to a level of Talmid Chacham, but he thought that right after Shesburg told him, like the Gemara brought down from the Chozer Lublin, the Chozer Lublin said that even if Hashem himself tells him that he's a tzaddik, he has to believe Hashem at that minute, but a minute later he'll think maybe he messed up, or maybe the fact that he talked to Hashem himself that brought him too much haughtiness and it caused him to become worse. And that's what the Pirkovis says, Al Tamid Ma'atzmacha Adyo Moischa. Pirkovis, Perik Beis, Mishnah Dalet, brings down, do not trust yourself until the day you die. So, Avraham Avinu, even though he was told that should make a Brit Milah, he thought that right afterwards that he'll fell level. So he fell level, so therefore he cannot make it because he wanted to be. He thought like Torah Serapos because he didn't believe that the actions of mankind is greater than the actions of Hashem, because that's a little haughty, and that is only in a person, only Talmid Chacham is allowed to, he thought only Talmid Chacham is allowed to become, Talmid Chacham is allowed to, like Chassam Sof explains, only Talmid Chacham is allowed to become haughty in this mitzvah of Brit Milah, which shows haughtiness. So he decided that he's going to ask, that's the advice that he went to ask Mamre, if you should make a bit milah or not. Maybe you should make a bit milah because it will show too hotness and he has to be, and maybe he's not a tzaddik, he's not a Talmid Chacham, he's not a tzaddik. And if he's not a tzaddik, then he cannot become haughty on this, he cannot make bit milah. So Mamre told him, I'm sorry, you have to do bit milah because Hashem told him. And so Mamre himself was afraid that maybe by doing that he became haughty. And he didn't do the right thing because he took away he gave the wrong opinion. So therefore Hashem showed him himself by the plains of Mamre to show him that he was right. And he's giving him his reward for becoming haughty and doing God's will and giving the advice to Abraham to do God's will. So therefore he gave him the reward to become haughty. And because of Avinu and to ask advice, because he was so humble, he went to ask advice. So therefore Hashem, which the Pasuk brings down, that Hashem added, the Pasuk brings down, Mevascha, Tarbeinu, that your humility was added, Hashem added humility for Avraham Avinu, because of the fact that he went to ask advice, because he felt that he's not worthy for Brit Milah, because he's not, his soul was so humble, because only Brit Milah could be done by a person that is completely righteous. So the question is, if that is true, if that's the idea of Brit Milah doing only by righteous person, Brit Milah is only done by Talmid Chacham, by somebody with Talmid Chacham, so the question is, how do we do now, how do they go to Talmid Chacham that does a Brit Milah? But how does every Hamonam, every Jewish person that is not such a Talmid Chacham, not such a Tzaddik, how does he have a chutzpah to do a Brit Milah? It says only that Gedolei Ma'aseh Tzaddikim, that the works of the tzaddikim are greater than the works of Hashem. But not the works of a common person shouldn't be greater than the works of Hashem. How can we think that the works of a common person should be greater than the works of Hashem? So therefore it's brought down, in the Medrash it's brought down, that B'shah Shomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Eliyahu HaNavi, the time that Hashem so told Eliyahu HaNavi, She'yisarach Yitzchak B'Chabris Mira B'Yisrael. When God told Eliyahu HaNavi that he has to come to every bris, for whatever reason, even because he says I was after, because I just left my covenant. So Eliyahu HaNavi asks Hashem, Hashem, you know that I'm a Kana, I'm a Zalal. So I'm going to come to Abriz Mila, and the father of the Baal Briz, the father of the person doing the Briz, is a guy that doesn't know the mitzvahs, that he does a lot of, he's full of Avedas. So you know me, I'll be a hati, and I'll cause him to be suffered. So how can you send me down to every Brit Milah? A lot of people do Milah, don't keep any mitzvahs at all. And if he doesn't keep any mitzvahs, then I will cause him bigger damage than cause him sorrow. So the marriage brings down, if Ticha Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Baruch promised, Sheyechaper Lebal HaBriz, Vazi Yarekom Averes, Hashem is Baruch promised that He's going to forgive every time the Baal Briz, the person who does a Briz, Hashem will forgive all his Averes. So therefore he'll be in the category of a Tzaddik. So he's in the category of a Tzaddik, then Gedoyle Mas Tzaddikim, the works of the Tzaddikim are greater than the works of Hashem. So he'll be able to do a Brit Milah, no problem. And according to this, the answer is the Pasuk lies down, Tachas HaShekinah Elokav, that because Pinchas became jealous for the Jewish people, the Chapa Bnei Yisrael, so they explain the reason that Hashem forgave is because he's such a zealot, so therefore a zealot that caused the same thing by the Brit Milah, that Pinchas, you know, Pinchas Eliyahu, according to Midrash, Pinchas is eventually going to be Eliyahu, or is the same person as Eliyahu, which he never dies. So according to this, comes out that because he's a zealot, therefore Hashem has no choice, he has to forgive the Jewish people because he's a zealot. So according to this, that's very good why he asked advice for the Brit Milah, and why he didn't make a Brit Milah till now, and why specifically he was in the plains of Mamre. The only question we have is that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings down, Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Futalov brings down, that according to Rashi, the whole thing, as we know, that Rashi actually wrote down, that it was Pesach, the third day of the Brit Milah, it was Erev Pesach, because they come down to Lot at night, and Lot makes matzah, so Rashi writes down there, the Pesach oil, it was Pesach, Rashi writes down also, that it was Pesach here, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dr. Talib, brings down one opinion, that when this came, when the advice came, it was on Tishrei. And not only that, a lot of people say last week Parsha says Betzem Yom Hazeh, in the middle of this day, and they bring a Gzeir Shavuot, here says Betzem Yom Hazeh, and then by Yom Kippur says you shouldn't eat Betzem Yom Hazeh. So they bring a Gzeir Shavuot, it was Yom Kippur also. So if it was Yom Kippur, then comes out 3 days later, it was not Pesach. So then it's a little questionable, what does it mean, Lamoyed? Rashi actually brings down, the Machloik is actually in that. And Rashi brings down Lamoyed that made a line in the wall, and says that, Lamoyed Azel, Lashon Acheres, that I'll come back to you in this time next year. And it made actually, which brought down from Medesh Tanchuma, actually, from Pirkei Rabbi Elazar also said, the Gemara brings down in Bav Metzi also, that he made a line on the wall and says that when the sun will come here next year, it will be, you'll have a child. Also, the other question is that we got a little problem, a little technical problem, because even, let's say, even if you say it was Pesach, and he made a line and says when the sun comes down next year, a year of the sun is 365 days, and a year of the moon is 354. So by you putting a line in the sun, and say that when the sun will come here next year, the same time, that automatically cannot be exactly a year after that. So some people say that he put a line, and he says that when the sun is going to come to this line, that's when we're going to have a child. So if you say that, then it could be that it wasn't actually Pesach, that the marriage wasn't actually Pesach. He could make the line on Yom Kippur, and say that when the line is going to come here, it'll be Pesach. So that's fine. So according to that, that's what they explain one explanation, because it doesn't work anyway to make a line, because the cycle of the sun is 365 days, the cycle of the moon is 354, and according to Gemara, that year was an Iber year, was an extra month, so it was 354 plus 30, so that's 384 days, so the sun line would not work regardless. So that's what they say, that that's the idea of having that it actually, according to certain interpretations, was Yom Kippur, and the line was for later. And according to other interpretations, was actually Erev Pesach. And according to interpretation says Erev Pesach, we have an answer also for another interesting question. The Gemara writes down that everything Avraham Avinu did by himself, Hashem did to him by himself. But everything Avraham Avinu did through a messenger, Hashem did through a messenger. So that's a question that it's written here that he actually gave. It's written here that he actually gave Yukachno. Pasuk Med Dalet, Rashi brings down that Yukachno Matmaim, should be taken a little water. Verachzu Raglechem, should wash your hand. Veishon Otachas Oez, and should lean on the tree. So Rashi writes down Yukachno Aleda Shliach, through a Shliach. Vakudish Boch, Shulam Lebar Veda Shliach. And also everything Avraham Avinu did himself. The water he did through a messenger, therefore it was given from a messenger, which was the Moshe hidden rack. And the rack, Chapas Lechem, the bread he brought himself. So therefore Hashem made it that he should bring it, that man came straight from heaven. Yeah? Velabokar Atzavram. It says, the Bokar Avram ran and he gave to the child. So Rashi writes down, who is the child? Zeh Ishmael. That pasuk number 7, he gave to the child, that's Ishmael, because he did it to be mechanach mitzvahs, to be able to make mitzvahs, to get him ready, to get him used to make mitzvahs, even though he was already 14 years old, but to make chinuch after 14, at least he was 14. But anyways, at that time there was not chrosach, and he could always make chinuch for it. So the question is, if he wants to make chinuch, the water probably is not written the way he sent, with whom he sent. Obviously, Kachna is talking about probably Ishmael also. He wants to continue doing chinuch. So the question is, why doesn't he do chinuch for the bread? Why the bread he decided to do himself? So it's brought down that also it's written with Sado Lipchem, that you should I will take up the bread with Sado Lipchem, and you should say that your heart. So Rashi brings down, it's written Sado Lipchem, it's not written Levavchem. So Rashi brings down Omar Abchoma. Abchoma says Levavchem ain't Ksiv. Normally it doesn't say your hearts, your Levavchem. Ksiv el Lipchem, which is a singular. So normally when it says Levavchem, Bechol Levavchem, Talmud learns around, Levavchem Hashem Elkecho. You should love God, your God, Bechol Levavchem, with all your heart. It says Levavchem, it doesn't say Lipcha. So Talmud learns that you should love God with both your hearts. Yitzhak Tov, Yitzhak Hara. So he says, so he brings down that Levavchem means that Bechalipchem doesn't say Levavchem because the angels only have one heart, they only have Yetzer Toif, they don't have Yetzer Hara, so therefore doesn't say the word Levavchem. We mentioned that it was Erev Pesach, and since it says it was Kechoyim Ayoyim, it was like the heat of the day, obviously it was already after Chatzos. Because the heat of the day is chatzos. And we know that chometz, that you're not allowed to have bread after chatzos. So, the question is, if you can't have bread after chatzos, so, how can Avraham Avinu prepare the bread? So the answer is that he says, v'akopas lechem sado lipchem. And, because the Zohar brings down that the whole reason of the Yetzer Hara, the reason that we have Chometz B'Pesach is because we have to take away the Yetzer Hara is regarded as Seor, as yeast, because it makes a person feel haughty, he blows up anything that is there. But that is only, and by doing 7 days, and the haughtiness, you're keeping your haughtiness out 7 days, that will be for the whole year. So if that's the whole reason of not eating chometz is because of the reminding of the hotness, kick out the hotness, that's only, or the Yetzer Hara, that's only if you have Yetzer Hara. If you don't have a Yetzer Hara, then you don't have to do it. So therefore it says, V'sadu lipchem. I'll bring bread, I could bring bread. Why? Because your heart which doesn't sell a vavchem, which are hard to defeat the Yetzirah. So therefore, he could do it. So what did they answer? They answered them, Kein tasa kasha dibartam. So you should do like you told me. So the question is, normally you should say, Kein nasa kasha dibartam. So we will do like you told us. In other words, what do you mean, so you will do? So Avram is telling, I'm going to make you bread, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you guys eat, and you guys are going to stay with me. So they should say, okay, we'll do that. Not, that I just told them that not only if you're giving in chametz because we don't have any tzahara, then you could also do that. And that's what it says, that according to this is very good, that everything else he gave to Ishmael because he wanted Ishmael to be mechanach mitzvahs. But bread, since bread it has to do with tzahara, it was Pesach, and only a person who doesn't have tzahara could touch the bread. So therefore he says, no, you know what? The bread, vekhapas lechem, I will take the bread with sadolivchem, I'll give you. And therefore they said, King Tasa. Not only us, if that's the reason that you're doing it, you're giving us chometz because we don't have Yetzer Hara. So according to this, you yourself could also do that because you also don't have a Yetzer Hara. I saw another interpretation on Nikach HaMatayim, Rakopas Lechem, I will take a little bread. I saw that Avraham Avinu taught the Arabs. His three angels were Arabs. And they came there to tease him the same way they turned us up to tease him. They found out that he made a Brit Milah. So they came to tease him the same way the Transrapas teased Rabbi Akiva. That he's saying, how can you do something even though Hashem told them, but if they don't believe Hashem told them. So they ask, how can you do something? Hashem created you perfect. How can you do something to improve on what Hashem created? So Avraham Avinu suddenly says, you know, v'akapas lechem. I'll bring you a piece of bread. The same answer that Rabbi Akiva actually gave to Transrapus. That he said, you see from the bread that a lot of times man has to improve on the actions of Hashem because you can't eat the kernels by raw. You gotta grind it. You gotta do a lot of stuff to get it done. So you see that man, Hashem sometimes wants man to improve on his action. So that's why the first thing he says, "Vekapas lechem, I will bring water, wash your feet, but I'll bring a piece of bread." So you'll see from a piece of bread that what I did was the right thing to do. The Gemara learns from this story of Abraham that Abraham says for Hashem, "Vayom Adonai Hashem, im na matzah sichem beinecha, if I found favor in your eyes, I'll not suffer. Do not leave me, do not stay where you're waiting." So the Gemara learns that from here you learn that Godel Achnasas Horchim, Godel Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. That Achnasas Horchim is greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. So the question the people ask is, that's very nice, that we could learn from Avraham Avinu, because Avraham told Hashem to wait, that Achnasas Horchim to receive gas is greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. The question is, how did Avraham know that? How did Abraham know that Achnas Zorachim is greater than Kabbalas Pashchina? Maybe it was a chutzpah for Abraham to do that. So maybe Abraham did something wrong. So how can we learn from Abraham if he did something wrong? The truth is that if it's written in the Torah, when the Torah is supposed to be a book of laws, so we could learn from that what's written. The question still is, how did Abraham know? So some people want to say, which is actually a source of fortune being down, that Avram realized that Avram was so attuned to the actions of Hashem, that he realized if his legs take him somewhere, obviously that must be the right way to do. If his legs move him to the guest, Hashem is there and his legs are moved to the guest, so obviously it must be that this is the proper way to do. But according to this, a little bit hard to understand, because we know that Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times, and if we have the idea now that everywhere that his body moved, that was, he realized it was the will of Hashem, that his body was so attuned, or so with the Yetzer Hara couldn't control anything of his body. So then what kind of a test is that? What kind of a test is it that if you do something that you follow Hashem? Obviously, the only way you could go, if your body only goes one way, then you lose kind of potency of the test. Even though it's written by the Akedah, it's written by the end of the Parsha, there is the Akedah, and the Akedah there is written, Vayishlach Avram Az Yadoi, Avram send out his hand, right, so the Mefarshim bring down that on the Kedem on page 103, on Perikhov base, Pasuk Yud says, Vayishlach Avram ez Yadoy. Avram sent out his hand, or raised his hand, stretched out his hand. Vayikach ez HaMacheles, and took the knife, did shechet ez Bnoy, to slaughter his son. So some people say that Vayishlach Avram, why you say Vayishlach Avram ez Yadoy? He sent out his hand. Explain that his hand didn't want to go down, because it was what Hashem told him. They'd explain, actually, the hand doesn't want to go down. And he was trying to force his hand. So he had to send his hand down because he couldn't, because his hand didn't want to go down. Hashem told him not to, just to put him on top of the altar, not to kill him. So we see that there is support to the theory that Avram's body actually was so attuned to the work of Hashem that everything that he did was exactly what Hashem wanted. And they explained that that's how Avram know how to keep the 630 mitzvahs, because even though he didn't learn, which is a question if he didn't learn, because if Noah learned Torah, could be Avraham Avinu also learned Torah, because Hashem knew Torah too. So he had the yeshiva, Hashem had the yeshiva. So, but most people say that Avraham Avinu knew instinctively, or knew that since each mitzvah is the way each mitzvah works is that we have 365 Shesog Gidim, we have 600 Sinus, and we have Ramach Evrim, we have 248 limbs, together make 613. Each mitzvah is attuned to a part of your body. So Abraham's body is completely attuned. But that's very hard to understand. And what kind of a test is the test of Abraham? Or could be that Hashem doing this test just changed his nature, so it should be tested. But otherwise it's tough to understand what kind of test it is. So I saw a very beautiful word, and it's a little lamdish. It says in the first pasuk says, Ve'er elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him, Eloi Mamre, place of Mamre, Ve'yoyshev Pesach Oyel, he's sitting in the tent, Kechom Ayoyim, because the day is hot. So Rashi writes down, Rashi brings down from the Gemara above Metzia, that Hoytish Kudosh Baruch Hu Chamam Nartiko, Hashem took out the sun from its pocket and made it very hot, Shloi Yotricho Baruchim, so he shouldn't have any guest. So Hashem made the specifically the day hot, so Avraham Avinu shouldn't have any guests. And he saw Avraham Avinu is very distressed, so he sent them some guests. So now let's just analyze it. Let's say if the halacha is, if God is there, Avraham Avinu, if God is present, that the presence of the divine presence is greater than achieving guests. That number one is the divine presence. So it comes out if that would be the halacha, then Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu. So all Hashem has to do is appear to Avraham Avinu. Automatically, even if there is guest there, Avraham Avinu can't take the guest. Because, I'm sorry, he's doing the greatest mitzvah, which is to receive the divine presence. So Hashem doesn't have to make the day hot. Because what good is the day hot? If the halacha is that if God is there, you can't tend to anybody, it could be a very nice cool day. Hashem shows up, I'm sorry, even if guests come and go, Avraham Avinu can't do anything. From the fact that Hashem came and Hashem still made the day hot, Hashem gave a message to Avraham Avinu, you know, even though I'm here, the only reason you can't take guests is because the day is hot. Because the day wouldn't be hot. Even if I'm here, you could take guests. So from here, Avraham Avinu realized, deduced from this deduction, that the day was hot and Hashem was there. So Avraham Avinu automatically realized that if the guest would come, I would have to tend to guest. Because otherwise Hashem could be here, he doesn't have to make the day hot. So that's the reason he learned, he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. Rashi on Pasuk, Minashtosh Anashim, there are three people. Rashi writes down, there are three angels. Why are there three angels? Echot Levaser Soro, one to tell Sarah she's going to have a kid. That was angel Michael. Ve'echot lapach esdom, one angel to destroy his dom, that was angel Gabriel. Ve'echot lerapes Avram, one angel was needed to heal Abraham. Why Rashi writes down? Rashi writes down because the angels are very strict to union rules. Shem malach echot oisah shtei shlichas, that if you have originally in mind three things, then then we send three angels for three things. And Rashi continues, because if you have three things, we send one angel for three. One angel does not. Rashi continues saying that Ein malach echad oiseh shtei shlichus. One malach cannot do two things. In other words, if the original was planned to do three things, therefore we send three angels. So Rashi continues, we got a little problem here, because we know that the fall, that we had three things to do here by Abraham, but afterwards two things had to be done by Sdom, that writes down Rephal that healed Abraham. He went from here to Sdom, and he saved Lot, because saving and healing is technically the same thing. So therefore, originally came three. Michal came to tell Sarah that she's going to have a child. Rephal came to heal Abraham. And Gavriel was just there because eventually he's going to go to Sdom to destroy it. So after they finished telling Abraham, after Rephal healed Abraham, after Gavriel, afterwards they both, Gavriel and Rephal, went, and two angels come to Sdom. Rephal and Gavriel come to Sdom, and Michal went back up to heaven. So the question to ask is, wait a minute, why not have four angels? Two, technically, the healing and saving is one thing, but if you know originally you're going to require to have four deeds, you should send four angels. So they give a very interesting Lamdish answer. The Gemara is down that the whole reason that Lot was saved is because two praetors, two doves, two beautiful women are going to come out from him, which is Lot is going to commit incest with his children, with his daughters, and one daughter is going to come out Moab, and the other daughter is going to come out Ammon. And out of Moab is going to come out Ruth, and out of Ammon is going to come, which is going to marry Boaz, which is going to be the progenitor to David. And out of Noamah is going to come out, out of Ammon is going to come out Noamah, which marries Shlomo, King Solomon, and also the progenitor of the Mashiach. So, because of these two doves, which come from Ammon and Moab, therefore, Lot was saved from Sdom. Yeah, it comes out if for some reason, there is no. If for some reason, Ruth or Noam cannot convert to Judaism, so therefore they cannot marry Boaz, then automatically it would be that Lot would not be saved. So Gemara writes down on Parshas Kiseitze, which is page 1054, Rabbi Asko, page 4, Pasuk Dalet, which is Perik Chav Gimel, Dvarim, Perik Chav Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. Says, L'rav Amoni Moavi b'kal Hashem, and the Amoni Monite and Moavite should not enter the congregation of Hashem. Gam Dor Asiri, also 10 generation, should not enter the congregation of Hashem. Why? Adva Sholikid Moeschem Belechem Bainayim, because they didn't bring out, they didn't greet you with bread and water. Baderech Beteischem Mitzrayim, when you came out of Egypt. So they explain why were they supposed to greet you with bread and water, and other nations didn't greet you with bread and water. So he says, because since their whole existence depends on Lot, the Lot's existence depends on Abraham, so therefore they should have a Koras HaTorah, they have to show gratefulness even after so many generations about whom their life all depended on. And since that was Abraham, so they should greet the children of Abraham with food and water. Yeah? And so the Gemara brings down that this DNA, this which Shabbos also brings down there, that we learned Ammoni v'le Ammonis, that only the Torah says that Ammonite, which means in the masculine form carry the DNA, but the feminine form don't carry the DNA. So the Gemara says, and I'll give you another proof. The Gemara says why? Because it's written the whole reason. The Torah writes down the reason is Allah shalakid me'askam b'lechem ma'im. That darker, she writes down the darker that she didn't bring greet you with food and water. So darker shalishal kadam, that only men go out and greet, and it's not nice for women to go out and greet because it's not proper for women to go outside and greet. And the Gemara brings down how the, because it's written that kol kvoida bas melech pnima, that women have to stay indoors, and we could see also that. Even righteous women didn't go outside and greet people to come and stay in the house, not proper, because people may think of other things. It's kind of immoral. And the Gemara writes down, how do I know The Gemara brings down, Bemarov Eritem, Rabbi Yitzchok says, how do I know that a woman has stay inside? Because it says a pasuk, Vayomer Eilo, Vayeser Ishtecho, where is Sarah your wife? Vayomer, he says in the boil, and Avram says that Sarah is in the tent. That's in the Gemara Yevomas, Daf Ayin Zayin, and it says that Amud Alef, that Sarah is in the tent. So it comes out the whole reason that we learn that a woman has to be indoors is from Sarah, because Sarah, even though Avraham Avinu was a great machnes Torah, still we see that Sarah Imenu didn't go outside and greet people, that she is still in the tent. So they're being like this. Originally, Hashem was going to send three angels, because there's only three shlichas. What is shlichas? Only three messages, only three things to do. One is to tell Abraham he's going to have a child, to tell Sarah she's going to have a child. Second one is to heal Abraham. And third one, to destroy Sodom. And originally, Lot was not going to be saved. So what happened? The first angel came, Michal came, and told Sarah she's going to have a child. And Raphael came and healed him. Well, the first Raphael, just by showing up, automatically healed Abraham. And then Michal came and told where is Sarah your wife? I need to have a message to tell Sarah your wife. So it comes out at that time that still Sodom is going to be destroyed. And Raphael already finished his job, and he has no job now. He's exempt from jobs. He doesn't have a job to do anymore. So all of a sudden Sarah says, "Ayei Sarah Ishtecha?" Michal asked Abraham, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And Abraham answered, "She's in the tent." So all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, it comes out that women's place is in the tent. If women's place is in the tent, then comes out that the DNA that is bad for the Ammonim and Moab to come to the Jewish people only applies to the men and not to the women, because men have to greet outside and give you food, but women don't have to go outside and greet. So therefore women are allowed to convert. If women are allowed to convert, it comes out that Moab, that root that comes from Moab, and Noam that comes from Ammon, will be able to convert. They'll be able to become the progenitors of the Mashiach. They can become progenitors of Mashiach. Now it's incumbent for them to refer, to go save Lot. Because now came out by Avram saying, Hine Ba'oil, it actually materializes that Sarah is in the tent. It actually materializes the fact that now Lot could be saved. Until now, Lot wouldn't be saved, because until now there was no difference between men and women from Ammon and Moab, because they both have to do the greeting normally. But all of a sudden, the angel asks, where is Sarah? And Avram answers, Sarah is in the tent. So he shows that even Sarah, which is the greatest Machnas Orach, which is a partner of Abraham, which is the greatest welcoming of guests, still stays indoors. So comes out the women have to stay indoors. So the women didn't do anything wrong by staying indoors when the Jews came by. So therefore their DNA is okay. They are accepted to convert. If they are accepted to convert, then that comes out that their children, Ammon and Moab, which is Ruth and Noama, they actually could become the progenitor of Mashiach. They could become the progenitor of Mashiach. Then it comes out very good. That's in the commandment of Tuch. Then they require saving. So now all of a sudden, Raphael has a new directive to go save Lot. But originally he was going to destroy Lot. Therefore he was only sent three angels. But all of a sudden, after Avraham Avinu says, "In a boy, she's a tent," it became a new directive. And since he's already down here, might as well do the job. But it's not originally, it was supposed to be four jobs. In the end of the parsha, not almost at the end, in the middle of the parsha, is the famous story that all of a sudden, the same story that happened last week's parsha, that Abraham decides to go to the Plishtim. He went to the Avimelech, to Gror, and all of a sudden he tells his wife that she's his sister. And it's written there that Hashem goes to tell the prophecy to Avimelech, says, "Do not touch this woman, she's a married woman," and says, "Vato Pasuk Zayin," that's page 92, Pasuk Zayin, Perik Chof Pasuk Zayin, says, "Vato Hashem, as Eshes Harish returned the man's wife, Ki Navihu, because the prophet is Paul Batcho, and who will pray for you." And then Chumash, if not going to turn, that you will die. So basically what happened, and it's also written in Pasuk Dalad, Avimelech, didn't approach her, didn't have any relations with Sarah. So what happened is Avimelech took her, and he wanted to have a relation. Hashem gave him a plague, and Hashem told him a dream to give back the wife because he's a prophet. So here's a very hard question. It's written on Parshas Lech Lecha, Pasuk brings down Malkit Tzedek Melech Shalom. That's on chapter 14, Pasuk number 18. And Rabbi Arzkor also writes down the same thing, Pasuk number 19. It says Malkit Tzedek, the king of Shalom, he is a Kohen, which most people say it was Shem ben Noach, and he's a Kohen Lekel Elyon, he's a Kohen to Hashem. And by Vorchei, when he blessed, by Yom, he says, Baruch Avram, Lekel Elyon, Kodesh Avoraz, blessed be Avram, and blessed be Hashem. So it's brought down the Gemara in the Dorim, Ravid Beis 32b, it's brought down that because Melchizedek first said, Baruch Avram, and then says, Baruch Kel Elyon, so he was disrespectful to Hashem, his priest would praise Hashem and then praise Abraham. So the priesthood, even though Avram comes from Shem ben Noach, is in his lineage, but there could have probably other people that were entitled to it. So the priesthood was removed from Shem ben Noach and given directly to Abraham. So it comes out now Abraham is now the Kohen. Abraham the Kohen is also maybe the king of Shalom. But he's definitely the Kohen that the Gemara brings down that the priesthood is definitely given to him. The problem is that normally we say that if a woman is taken away, if a regular Jew has a wife, the wife is taken away or kidnapped, we normally assume that since the guy has the power to rape the woman, we assume that she was raped. So if a normal Jew, if somebody rapes the normal Israel's wife, the wife could go back to him. It's no problem. It's not considered adulterous, and it's not even considered anything wrong. And the wife could go back to the same person, to the husband. But if it happens to be a Kohen, and the Kohen's wife was kidnapped, the Gemara writes down that unfortunately we assume that she was raped. And if your Kohen's wife was raped, automatically she becomes prohibited to the Kohen. So the question is, how can Avraham Avinu go and have a relationship afterwards it says actually afterwards he had a relationship, right afterwards it says that the next chapter it says that Hashem pokad Sarah, that Hashem remembered Sarah. So how can he go afterwards have a relationship if Sarah, he became a Kohen and the wife was taken by the king, she was kidnapped by the king. And she had opportunity, she had yichud with him, she had opportunity too, it says, the Torah testifies, that he didn't get near her, and Hashem says, give her back, because a prophet. But the question is, how can he go back? It's considered kidnapping. So some people want to answer. So what answer is it? Since he's a prophet, so that's only if you know the reason that the kidnap is prohibited. Is because we don't know if she was raped. But here Hashem himself is testifying that she was not raped and that the Avram was a prophet, so he knew he wasn't raped, so therefore she was allowed to go back to him. So the question is that the Gemara writes down, Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara brings machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Elazar said one thing, he said that Tanur, Shlachinoya, Oven, Section Oven, that whatever happened is done. And the rabbis say that it's Tomeh. And Rabbi Elazar tried to bring a bunch of different proofs. And the last proof was that he asked from heaven to declare that he's right. And it came out a divine voice, came out a bas kol, a divine voice, and says, you know, Rabbi Elazar is right. So Rabbi Yeshua Garland, his foot says, what's the difference? Divine voice saying, Torah lo bashamayim. Torah is not in heaven. Once you gave the Torah to man, then the Torah is in down to earth and we can't rely anymore in prophecies or in divine voice or testimonies from heaven. So the question is, how can Avraham Avinu take back his wife? What good does he do? He's a Kohen now. And a Kohen, if his wife was taken, then he cannot go back to her. So the answer they give is a very interesting, it's a very easy answer. When does Rabbi Yeshua say that Torah lo b'shamayim, Torah is not in heaven? Once the Torah was given to earth, then the Torah is already in earth, and we have to decide for the earthly laws. And we can't decide on prophecies or other things. But before the Torah was given to here, the Torah was in heaven. So therefore, that was very good. Abraham Avinu says, give him back because he's a prophet. He knows she was not raped. So therefore, he will take her back. So don't worry, even though true, he's a Kohen. But you could give her back because he's a prophet. Ah, you're going to ask me, Torah is not in heaven. This is before Matan Torah. Before Torah was given, Torah was given later for his great-great-grandchildren. So before that, the Torah is in heaven. So you could decide through prophecies, through stuff, the decision of the Torah is until then. The end of the parasha ends if Akedas Yitzchok, the greatest test a human being could have. They say Akedas Yitzchok was a great test for Yitzchok than for Abraham, because Yitzchok didn't hear the commandment from his father. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham was at that juncture 137 years old. So Yitzchok would think, my father is getting kind of old or kind of senile. Yet Yitzchok realized that this is the will of Hashem, and he went completely selflessly. And actually, it was his idea to be bound, according to Midrash. It was his idea to be bound on the altar because he's afraid maybe he's going to see the knife coming down and as a reflex move his body. So therefore, he asked his father to bind him so he shouldn't become apostle when he does the Shechita. And because of that, we were merited to have the great bracha that says, "Kivorecha vorechecho." That I'll bless you, Barabbe Bezracho, and I'll multiply your children, like the stars in heaven, and like the sand in the sea, the Irash, Zarov, and your offspring shall inherit a shadow of the gate of the enemies. And let's hope that through this time that we are going through now, that it should become true quickly, that we should conquer all our enemies, and we should become multiplied like the sand. Like the sands and like the stars of the stars in the heaven, like the sands of the seas, and the sands of the seas is only united. And Mashiach should come in here, be Amen.